This podcast is brought to you by Hound. Hound comments on style violations and GitHub pull requests, allowing you and your team to better review and maintain a clean code base. Try it now at houndci.com.
I got my dancing music again.
Oh, man. He's back. He's in. Where'd he go? Oh, he's gone.
He went away.
He's gone.
Skype crashed on him.
One woman show. Hi.
Hi. Sorry.
No worries.
You sound awful, Kyle.
Thank you.
By which I mean I don't think you're using the correct microphone.
Like, hello?
Your input is not set to the...
That's awesome. I don't know how to change that in Skype. Audio and video settings are different from your preferences.
Yep.
Oh, it's because I'm using my headphone mic. You don't want me to record that?
No, please no.
Why not?
We can do a whole episode about that.
I can't do an episode about that. How do I say now?
Hey, you sound better. Like a jazz crooner.
Or like a person that's not on a telephone.
Yay. That's so true, yeah. That's exactly what he sounded like. Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
Hi. You're having tea and I'm having a beer.
Yeah, I think you have the better idea.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's nice. I passed by the fridge and it was calling my name a little bit. And I opened it up and I was like, oh my God, there are so many beers in here.
I did that last time when I was at the office. And for some reason, having a beer while we record in my house mm-hmm. is totally different than having a beer when I'm in the office. And I can't get over why that is. It's like, suddenly it's not okay because I'm in my house.
Oh my God. I'm glad that was office. Yeah.
That's my thought process right there on having beer while you podcast.
Right. I'm glad that you've, I thought that was going to be the opposite thing of, well, I'm in the office, it doesn't feel right. I'm like, oh no. I'm like looking at my beer on this like iHeart data coaster.
No, it's quite the opposite. If I'm at the office, man, bring on the beer.
Bring on the beer.
If I'm at home, suddenly it's...
Yeah.
No one listens to this, right?
I don't think so. Have you ever worked in an office that had a keg?
I mean, technically, that's our Austin office. We're at a WeWork, and there's a keg. But the issue is... with that is that there's so many people in the WeWork that by the time it comes to Friday afternoon, the keg is tapped. And so it like totally defeats the purpose for me where like it's probably going to be the only time I ever have a beer.
Oh no. That's sad. So it's just all week kind of people are going, you know, grabbing a beer at the end of the day. And then, yeah, Friday is when I'm having one now because it's Friday. I wouldn't, if we were doing this on a Monday, I'd be like, ugh, I gotta like go home and like do other things. There's like no way. I don't know. It's not like,
you have a full week of being a person. You have a few days of a weekend. You don't have to be a person.
I'm done being a person. I'm good. That's exactly what Fridays are for. Yeah. Do you have any non-person plans this weekend?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
My kids dominate my weekend. So I have like swim lessons and tumbling and chauffeuring around. And that's what I do.
Do you do all those things with them or you just watch them?
I do swim lessons with my son. I do not watch tumbling. Or two tumbling.
I tumble on Saturdays.
You should see my backflip. I've got it pretty good.
Oh my goodness. I am convinced that in my past life I was like a British ballerina.
That is very specific and awesome.
Exactly. Because I've always liked dancing. And then when I'm in the New York office, there's George is there who has he's from Britain. And so he always catches me doing a fake British accent. And I always assure him that, like, I don't do this all the time, but I kind of do. But it's, like, really funny. It's like a running joke now that I'm, like, saying something. And he's not in the room. And he walks in and I'm doing a British accent. And he's, like, he always laughs. He's, like, ugh, I love when Americans do British accents. It's just, it warms my heart, you know. And I'm like, George, I don't always do this, I promise. It's like, it's not true. I was one in my past life. Yeah.
So what should we talk about besides beer and our weekend plans?
And our past lives?
And our past lives. I don't know my past life, so I feel like out of the loop and kind of sad.
Oh, that's a good homework assignment for you for next time.
How do I figure that one out?
I don't know. That's up to you to figure out, Kyle. It's not my homework assignment. I already know that answer.
You only know one past life.
That's so good. It's a good point. Well, definitely a whale trainer. Okay, I'm not gonna. I can go on for seriously hours.
Whale trainer.
Yes. Orca whales in particular, who they are also my spirit animal. Do you know what? Okay, one last question before we talk about real stuff. Do you know what your spirit animal is?
This I do.
Okay,
it's a Galapagos tortoise.
Wow, how did you land on that?
So we go to the zoo a lot because my kids love it, and a specific Galapagos tortoise at the zoo just like speaks to me.
Wow, what does it say?
I don't know. But I just see myself in that tortoise.
Wow, I love that. And you have like tortoise shell glasses, so that's so interesting.
That was not intentional too. Maybe that's like my subconscious.
Oh my God.
My spirit animal coming through.
I mean, I have so many whale shirts, like I don't even know what to do with them. So, and also I'm actually getting one mailed to me. My friend randomly saw a sweatshirt with orca whales on it, and now it's on its way to my house. So I'm saying too much about that. So in terms of like
design,
you know,
we could just change what this podcast is about.
Oh, God.
I mean, last time we did this, we just talked about art. Mm-hmm. This time we're just talking about spirit guides and past lives, mm-hmm. essentially multiple religions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tentative. That's the name of the. So, I mean, it's in the name, right? So I guess we're safe. We're in a safe space.
The things that are on my mind design-wise, mm-hmm. maybe some of these aren't design things. So I just did a remote kickoff that was like condensed design sprint in about 5 hours. So we could talk about that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Also, one of the things that we talked about earlier, which is like something that's always on my mind, which is time management, mm-hmm. and which kind of like gets at prioritization.
Okay, those are pretty juicy.
I also think like we could dive into, I don't think we talked last time about your research and the research project and how you've kind of expanded that.
Ooh.
So that could be cool as well. So it's like multiple choice, A, B, or C. Which one do you want?
Well, all of the above. D. Okay. Well, how was your kickoff? So why was it a 5-hour remote thing?
Because the client that we have had already gotten, will be their second iteration on the product. Their first iteration was something that like was exciting for me to hear about and see, which was they basically just took a WordPress theme, built a website that was essentially like a contact form, and did a lot of manual work to kind of start to validate that they had a business.
Mm.
And so because they had already done that, they had more grounding onto what they wanted to build and what some of the problems they were going to face, because they had a really minimal first version of the product. So we're like in version 2 for them. So I kind of skipped over Diverge.
Mm-hmm.
So went through Understand. Also, the two people that are on the project, me and a developer you already mentioned, George, we're working together. We were both on the sales calls, so we both already have good context to some of what they're building. And even though some of it was like a couple months ago, you know, we still have that in the back mm-hmm. of our heads.
How long was phase one?
That's a good question. So phase one was probably about 3 hours.
I mean of their product.
Oh, face. I'm thinking of
I was like, holy crap.
I think they had the website up for a couple months and then they shut it down. So what the way that I ran it is like the bits of the design sprint that I think are most crucial, especially if there's already like validation. So having an understanding, getting a written, I like using job statement. So getting that written down and agreed upon and having a critical path from like inception of the problem to or pain point all the way to them getting the outcome that they're looking for. And through that, we kind of had a step-by-step essentially timeline of what the overall search looks like and what the app would look like, the details in the app. And we I honestly just used a Google Docs, and there was some limitation to that, but it worked out pretty well where everyone could contribute to it, and it limited us in terms of text. But it was also, so like we couldn't do like graphical things to the critical path that I would normally do. Like, hey, there's this point actually goes all the way back to this point. But I think the trade-off was worth it instead of using something like slides or another like whiteboarding tool.
That's
just
cool.
Because this was it's like a super linear process from the way that they understand it right now.
So there were no sketching exercises. Like you said, you skipped Diverge, right?
Right. So skipped over the sketching exercises, went from that critical path to writing down assumptions, tests, and how we know they're validated and doing the assumptions test table. I still think that's really important because it's still early days for the business. So making sure that we're writing down our assumptions and testing those. And then I went off on my own and did essentially like this is what I would do typically in a room is I'd whiteboard, sketch like what we all agreed on would be the storyboard. Mm-hmm. And I just essentially did that. I sketched on my own through a series of sketches into Envision and had them click through it and be like, hey, what's missing? What's important? What is here that doesn't
need
to be?
Did you go offline?
Yeah.
Okay, so you left for like a little while and you came back.
Yeah, it was a full day.
Wow.
We had two 3 hour sessions.
Okay.
And we ended up ending the second one early. And so it worked out really well. I guess part of that is like I'm now going to make a more detailed prototype and we're going to bring in people to test. So some of that is a lie because we're going to extend out that part of the design sprint process.
Mm-hmm. Are those going to be remote testing sessions or in person?
Remote interview test type thing.
I'm like, remote stuff, it works, but there are some times it's so hard to have, like I feel like the warming up and getting someone feeling like they're ready to kind of speak openly and freely, like it's so much easier to establish that in person than like, wait, I had like these series of interviews once I had to do for exactly what you're talking about for a sprint, and they're all remote, and they were like random, you know, someone catching the Wi-Fi in a Starbucks. And I had to ask really personal questions to them about like death and their family. And so it's like they pop up on the screen and I'm like, hi, you don't know who I am at all. Like, you don't even know. You don't even seriously don't know anything. Like, you don't even know what the app is I'm talking about. So it's like, what? Oh, can you see me? Can you hear me? There's like people getting coffee and it's like, tell me about the time your mom died. Like, oh my God, dude.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was absolutely terrible. I felt like in person, that's more of an in-person, like, you want some tea? Like, you want to sit? Get a blanket? You
yeah,
know?
There's definitely some nicer things that you can do in person. The issue here is that I can't do them where I'm at, so I'd have to travel by car or by plane to Houston to do in-person interviews. And the timeline budget.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it happens. I mean,
no, not entirely yeah. worth it.
What are some tips? Like, what are some ways that you make the someone feel comfortable remotely? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Some of the things I think, like trying to get them to laugh, make it seem like essentially like I'm the idiot that they're there to teach me.
Those are good.
Those are the things that I'm usually trying to do, because usually like the power dynamic there, like user interviews are a thing. Like you really have to pay attention to like the power dynamic and how it's affecting how they're giving you feedback. And so one of the things that is really awesome is you get to see body language in person that you don't necessarily get to see. And I think that's the one of the most important things, is like there are things that I know to do in person that like are really easy things. Like if they think that I'm like the power in the relationship and I want them to think, I make myself seem smaller, like slouch. Or if I want to seem more powerful, like just like spreading myself out, talking over that, like there are things that I can do to like change that dynamic that I can think of. And you're right, it's harder to do through the screen, but as long as I can still see them, I can still kind of try and do that. Like make myself smaller on the webcam, or like if the power dynamic is reversed, like talking over them being a little bit of a jerk. Like it all kind of depends on that situation. I feel like I have to over exaggerate some things, but definitely like getting someone, and I think this goes for almost any kind of interview, like when I'm interviewing other designers that were looking to be hired, like I try to make some sort of joke at the beginning to like loosen up everyone, and then like again try and pay attention to that dynamic. Because especially in like interviewing designers, there is definitely a given dynamic there, and seeing how they're trying to change the dynamic too, and paying attention to their body language through video is interesting.
I'm thinking about like that example I just gave you about the Starbucks thing. The remote stuff is hard. Like that kind of dynamic thing, like they're in their world and you're in yours, you know, and it's like they're still in their world of distraction, of like their own, you know, environment, and then you're in yours, and then you're coming together, and then you're screen sharing a thing, and like having them click and sharing their screen. It's like a million things to kind of your finger crossed that they are tech savvy, you know. I can in my sleep give directions on how to screen share on the Hangout, you know what I mean?
I would honestly, like, let's put you to sleep, get a bed in into the recording studio, and see what your instructions are.
No. Look at the screen.
A lot of that, like, definitely is really important to do. I know for one of our clients, they're a big corporate company and they use GoToMeeting, and I was just like, you know what? I'll just use GoToMeeting because that's what they know. Like that makes it easy for them to set up. Whatever. Like it's a terrible experience, but that's what they know. And I know that I'll get the result. Whereas like if I had tried to get them to use Skype or Hangouts, like it would have just been a disaster.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So some of that is just like understanding that that's going to happen. I do think like if that person, like hopefully you told them like some of the topics that you were going to go in, and while me and you probably wouldn't want to talk about our, you know, a parent or a relative's death in the middle of a coffee shop, like maybe that's okay for that person and they don't mind and they weren't even thinking about it, right? Like, so what you said is really interesting, of like they're in their environment where they feel secure and you're in yours, and just got to make sure that that environment is something that they feel secure
in. Yeah, so true. And it has secure, you know, yuck, Wi-Fi. It has Wi-Fi. That's a plus. Yeah. when do you start these interviews? Do you do it next week?
So I'm on like half-time client work, and part of what we want to test is trust. And so I want a little more time to do visual design, because I do think visual design helps tremendously with trust.
In what way do you think?
I think the brand, the way that the brand is communicating, like give strong signals to people whether they should be trusting it or not. It's funny, like, what I'm aiming for is, like, almost homey, but, like, I don't know. It definitely, like, I do think that, like, type and layout do communicate a lot for trust. Like, normally I would say, like, let's just run with this sketch. Like, we sketched out something really quick. It's perfect. This is a good prototype. But just inherent in that, people are going to be like, this is a sketch. Why are you asking me for my social? That is not cool. I'm not giving you my social because you asked me to with a picture of a sketch. So it's like that level of trust. And I also don't know what the implications of me asking for that and seeing if they'll type it in a recorded.
So you just want their social. You're trying to find ways.
Pretty much. I'm just trying to ruin their credit.
What's the best way to ruin someone's credit?
Best way to steal someone's credit card.
Oh, a nicely designed text input that says social security.
You're totally ruining this cool interview. You should fill out all of your credit card information and your social security number.
And your PayPal information.
And be okay with this checkbox that says that we are legally allowed to charge your credit card.
Credit card, you got it. Wow. Well, that's some exciting stuff you got going on there. Was today? Did you finish the sprint today?
That was Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, good. Okay. For a second, I was like, wait a minute. Was that now? Like, you're so fresh right now for doing that. I thought it was all day, like 3 and 3 in 1. I was like, wow, what a day. But I'm glad you guys spread it out.
Yeah, we split it over 2 days.
Oh, it's so nice.
It's going to be interesting because, like, it's definitely not a typical ThoughtBot engagement because me and George are both on it 2 days a week instead of the typical 4. And so we can do things like that, which is like just totally mix up the way that we're doing the project and make it better accommodating to all of our schedules. Because the client asked for that as well. Like, they're doing this, they have flexible schedules, but they're doing it with a full-time job.
Gotcha. I like that. I like non-typical stuff.
Yeah. Breaking out of the mold.
Yeah. I love changing up the design sprint to make it shorter. That's my favorite thing to do. There's a couple times, because you don't need to do the whole thing sometimes, you know? There was one time the client just knew. Like, they had their research, they had everything they wanted to do, that their ducks were in a row, and it just became more of a kickoff. It was like 2 days. I did a very similar thing to what you did. Like, I skipped a couple of parts, and then after the second day, on day 3, we were ready to start building a prototype. And, like, that was what happened. And everyone was really happy about that because they're like, oh, nice. We can just start now. But you know, the 5-day, that's really helpful for if you really don't know what you want to build, you know.
Yeah, I think using that as a framework or guidelines. Guidelines is a better
ooh,
word.
Yeah.
Like, it's a process. And if you've already done some of that process, it doesn't make sense to do it again.
Yes. And sometimes that process gets, like, sometimes the understand gets uncovered in the sales process, you know. And, like, we just had this happen recently where we had, like, we had a couple of hours worth of talking. And we basically did all of the first day of the sprint, the understand phase. Everything, even wrote on the whiteboard. So now it's, like, the question is, like, okay, do we have them do that again if they want to work with us? Like, because to them, they did it. You know, I don't know. I mean, you'll figure it out, but it's always interesting. Like,
yeah.
You know, but sometimes it's good to repeat information because you kind of see then what the difference is, you know?
For me, it's important that the team who's doing it has that understand process.
Oh, yeah.
And sets those problem statement, job statement, and then the critical path. Like, if the team that's doing the project was in that sales call and, like, by all means, like, let's skip over that. They've already done it. But if they weren't, I think it makes sense to repeat that information and essentially download that into everyone's brain. Have everyone be on the same level.
Yeah, definitely. It makes it a better experience. It's tough when people join in halfway through. It happens. It totally happens. People are traveling. They can't make the first day. So it's interesting to like find ways to get everyone on the same page like on a Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, on this project I'm on right now, we've been very astute with recording stuff, with like having artifacts of research we've done, whether that be through personas, whether that be through relationship maps, affinity boarding, things like that. Because usually it's an afterthought to be like, oh, I have to include everyone who's not on this project also in on what we're doing. So we've had a lot of time on, I'm on this really intense, like this really big research project right now. So it's been really cool to have some breathing room. It's basically a 3 month long design sprint. So the month one is the research, month two is prototyping and getting feedback, and month three is, you know, building the thing. So we're halfway through, like exactly halfway through. So it's been interesting to have so much time to actually be really diligent about making stuff presentable in a way where anyone can look at it and get value from it, you know? So
yeah, that's something that we're not typically doing. So that's, we're both on atypical projects, is like we typically say, hey, everyone who is on this project that's going to have a say on the project needs to be involved so that we don't have to do that kind of documentation, because inevitably a lot of that stuff changes. But I do feel like there are a lot of cases where it would be best for us to do more documentation and spend just a little more time on like writing down a synopsis of like, this is what we went over. If you miss this day, this is the thing.
Exactly.
Or if you miss this week, like, this is the stuff that we learned this week. Like, this is what we validated. This is what we invalidated. These are the questions that we asked. Rather than just what I feel like I do typically is just take all the recordings, dump them into a Dropbox folder, and be like, these are the three takeaways, and I'm going to add cards for them and start making it, like, start the process of doing them.
Yes, me too. Especially in a 5-day thing.
That. Yeah. Not do that detailed documentation of like, this is what was said.
Yeah.
And before just doing like, this is my understanding of it. Just being like, this is my understanding of what needs to be done. Mm. Here's the three cards in Trello. Yeah. I'm going to start doing them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact that it is a few days, that is the nature of that beast, you know? I think the interesting thing about having 3 months to do this part of the process, it kind of, it gives you the time to do all of the things you've ever wanted that you know is a good practice to do. It like gives you the time to actually do those things. And the biggest thing I've learned, you know, and one thing that I've, you know, been trying to push with this project is do them now. Like do it while it's in your head. Just do the personas now. Like don't put them off. If we have a few hours in the afternoon, let's get these done. Like, been really pushing on completing stuff and not letting things hang. Because mm-hmm. then if you add ellipses to everything, oh my God. I mean, it's going to be the end of the third month. We built this thing and it's like, oh crap, wait, I didn't fill out the last two personas. Like, who's going to do, like, why? I'm not going to do that. Like, I don't even, like, you are in a mindset with every phase that you go through. So it's like, phase one was all like, we're sponges and went out into the field and interviewed over 20 people over the course of 4 weeks. Like, you are in a mode where you are listening and like writing things down and making connections. So like, that is the perfect mode to be in to make, you know, some artifacts from this research. You know, now we're out of that phase. So I wouldn't be able to like pop back in to my brain like 4 weeks ago and, you know, like make a persona, like not right now. Now we're doing prototypes, you know? So I don't know. You just gotta do it in the moment, you know, when it's a segue into the other thing we're going to talk about, time management. Cause
wait, do we have enough time to talk about time management?
I was going to say, you know, when you're really busy, like for me personally, like when it comes to doing a little thing like responding to an email, like in the past when I had time to like, you know, process stuff or whatever, I would be like, I'll respond in like a little bit. I'll think about it. I'll make a response. I'm going to make some tea right now. No. Now I'm like, okay, reply. Just type a bunch of stuff, send, like, on to the next thing, like, in the moment. It's like the only way. I don't know. Do you get into that mode where you're just like doing things right as they come up?
I do. Email is a task. Oh. And like, I set aside time and just like, let's crush through this and then shut down the email and focus on other things.
Oh, yeah.
I think for me, a lot of what that is just like making sure that I'm focused. Mm-hmm. And so like what you said is like, yeah, I used to like open up my email, read it and be like, okay, I'll think about it and just like keep my email open while I do other things. And like now it's, you know, having a lot to do makes you, I think, more focused and is like, okay, I have the next half hour to like respond to all these emails.
Yes.
Or do all of the tasks associated with these emails. So like, let's knock it out.
Yes. Like when I open my email inbox, I know that like I have to respond to stuff while I'm, you know what I mean? Like it's like opening Pandora's box of like the next few tasks I have to do.
That's definitely one thing that I like doing. The other thing I'll do is I'll mark, even if it's not a meeting with people, like if I, right now I'm on a project 2 days a week, like I need to make sure that I'm getting that time in. So what I'll do is I'll mark that project time in my calendar. And so eventually like my calendar looks like this stacked Lego brick thing, but I know like when I have project time, I should be doing project time. And that helps me to create that kind of focus. So making sure that like this is the task I should be doing now and I should be focused on that, just this.
Mm-hmm.
And not checking my email or doing whatever else.
Yes. Don't you call it danger zone or something?
Though that's Friday lunch.
Friday lunch. There's this like whenever I go to book something with Kyle on Friday.
Danger zone.
There's a giant block that just says danger zone. And I'm like, ooh, I don't want to touch that. I remember one time I was like, I had to talk to you really quick, but I only had the last 15 minutes of your danger zone. And I remember messaging you and being like, Kyle, it says danger zone on your calendar. Like, I don't know what to, can we talk really quick? Like, do you have a minute?
So that's just our Friday lunches here in Austin. They could be like 45 minutes or they could be like 2.5 hours, depending on where we go.
Oh, that's so nice. Ugh.
Because there's only three of us here. There's only been like at the most 10. And so we've always just gone, and instead of like our bigger offices that get catered lunch,
yeah,
we'll go out to eat. And so there's the time that it takes to walk to a restaurant. And then, you know, time
right
to serve all of those people and then time to walk back. And, you know, depending on all those variables, like it could be 45 minutes. Like we could go somewhere really close,
yeah,
and it'd be done really quick. Or we could go
on like a boat,
especially in Austin. Like if it's a nice day and we want to go to a nice place, that's a little like 20 minute walk. We'll
yeah
do it.
That sounds great. I love that. Love that danger zone. That's good. Now I know.
We take advantage of the Austin weather here. And
oh,
so
yeah.
I think it was Gordon who said this is a like danger zone, because me and him kept on like scheduling things at like 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, that's tough. Yeah.
So then it's in this danger zone of like, will I be able to make it back for this 1 o'clock meeting?
That's so funny. Oh, that's great.
Now that everyone knows that, I'm sure they're better off.
I mean, I feel great. I feel informed.
That.
Yeah.
That narrative out there.
For our two listeners, you and me. Thanks. Half the listener base feels good. All right. I think that's a good place.
Yeah. I like how the time management section got pushed to the end.
Oh my
and that
God.
All we did was talk about danger zone. that's how you
and emails
people. You just do email and block off 3 hours on
for
Friday.
Lunch.
Danger zone.
Block off 3 hours for
all
Friday
caps
lunch. Yes.
All apps.
Yes.
You have to sing so the funny song while you do it.
It's all in the notes. And done?
Sure. We're done.
Yay, we're done. We did
just
it.
Just go find the show notes. This is some episode number.
Right. Oh, God.
So seriously, like, what number is this?
I don't know still, and I still don't know what the Twitter handle is, so nothing has changed. We haven't.
Oh, I know the Twitter handle. It's @tentativefm. No one ever tweets us, so tweet us. Make me feel special.
Yes, make Kyle feel special. Please, let's do this. And we'll block off time next time to learn what the episode number is. I'll put it on my calendar.
I'm looking it up.
Wait, I think I know. Hold on.
And it's your time.
46. It's 46. Found it.
Looked it up faster than me.
Well, it's on the file name, so thanks, Tom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, right? So yeah, organized.
Has its perks.
Oh, it does. It really does.
Okay, so this was episode 46. You can see our show notes at tentative.fm/46. Tweet us at tentative.fm. Email us at hosts@tentative.fm.
Cool. Mic drop.
Drop.
Oh. Yeah, oh my God, we're on the same page right now. Crazy.
This podcast was brought to you by ThoughtBot. We are experienced designers and developers who turn your idea into the right product. With local studios in Boston, San Francisco, New York, London, Austin, Raleigh, and Washington, D.C., let's build something great together.